Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In this morning's scripture, Christ tells us that we should build our house and our faith on a firm foundation. And this reminds me of Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said, "And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overthrow it." Now, as I was doing my preparation for day 8, I read some commentaries, Matthew Henry, the international one, and I found something interesting because I always misread this one. I thought he was saying that Peter would be the rock. And in fact, there's a lot of people that interpret it that way. But the commentary said, no, the way Jesus said it, you are called the rock, but on this foundation, on Jesus Christ, will I build my church. So listen to your own personal messages. I read Luke 6, 46 through 49. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like the man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came and a torrent struck the house, but could not shake it, because it was built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
I had a blessing as a child that I didn't even realize was a blessing until I got older. I was born in 1951, and beginning in 1948, 3 years before my birth, my dad bought a piece of property out in the backwoods, as it was then, of Beaver County. Had a quarter-mile driveway, about a 30-35 acre field out front. We were surrounded by woods on the other sides, pretty much. Some power lines have been through and changed that. But I grew up not only with our approximately 7 acres to roam over, but also probably, I would guess, at least 1,000 or more acres owned by neighbors. And this was the day when neighbors didn't mind you, you know, slipping under their fence as long as you didn't, you know, do any damage or anything, you know. And I wandered those woods and those fields. And then later I was blessed to get a horse and I rode all over the place. But my dad began building that house in 1948. He had it pretty much finished by the time I was born. For the basement, first and second stories. And my dad, with a very little bit of help from another fellow named Gene Rich, who helped Dad with the kitchen cabinets, from the footer — that's where you lay the concrete block on top of — from the footer and the sewers and the concrete basement floor to the roof, top of the roof, Dad built that house himself. And it was a great place. And it was, you know, a place I loved and I cherished. And when Mom and Dad sold it, my heart kind of went, you know, I didn't want to see the place go. But after Mom died back in 09, we're going through all the things, you know, crammed up in the cubby holes in the attic. There were the old blueprints all rolled up. It was kind of neat to pull them out. I've got them stashed somewhere, but they're so brittle I didn't want to bring them today because, you know, I was afraid they'd break and crumble more. But my father, with all of his skill, all of his love, all of his might, found a beautiful place out in the country, a little creek down at the back of the property. Go hunting crawdads and salamanders and such. But he built this place. And to a little guy who was born much later than his three siblings, It was a magical, wonderful place. But Dad, with all of his love, all of his might, all of his skill, built that place. And it wasn't just a house, it was a home. And it was a safe refuge in so many, many ways. But the question is, what if Dad had looked at the blueprints and said, well, you know, it calls for a 2x12 there, but 2x4s are a lot cheaper. Or what if it would have said, well, you know, that calls for a number one concrete block, not a number three, and he would have put the number threes in because they were cheaper. You know, that house is still standing. And those beautiful hardwood floors, with the exception of some accidents by the owners between my parents and the folks now, those beautiful hardwood oak floors are still there. That beautiful fireplace with the red, large red stones around it, it's still there. It's sound and it's good. Dad took the blueprints. He bought the best materials. And he labored. And I have to tell this too. My dad wasn't exactly perfect. For years, we had these steps that went down into the basement. And what they were 2x12s for the stringers. That's the side parts. And then there were 2x10s for the treads. But there, you know, there was no backing on the, you know, and it was all just open. Guess when we finished that staircase? When I was in seminary. Okay? Between, you know, I was born in 51, and I can't remember exactly what year, but between 73 and 77 when I graduated, I helped Dad put really nice finished staircase going down into that, you know, and I helped Dad insulate it and do some other things that, you know, just weren't done back in the late 40s and early 50s. God has set a blueprint for you and for me, for all the Christians before us, right now, and following us. He has set out a blueprint on how to build his home in this world. And I got news for you. I love the sanctuary here at Glenshaw Valley. But this isn't God's home. Oh, we say it's God's house. I mean, we inherited that from our covenanter and seceder ancestors, you know, in the Presbyterian church. They wouldn't call this a church. It was the house or the meeting house. And somehow, you know, it got changed into God's house too. But that all came. This isn't. Where is God's dwelling place? Where is the temple of God? Yeah, I see people doing. It's in us. It's in us. And God sets that building up. And we're his dwelling place. We're his home. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the Holy Spirit, who will be with you for 10 seconds, for 10 hours, 10 years, forever. Forever. Jesus said, excuse me, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say unto you? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. And Bill's right to tell us with the scripture reading. The rock isn't Peter. It's not the Church of Rome. It's that rock of faith that is down inside each and every one of us. A rock put there by God since before the foundation of the world. A little while ago, you'll remember I said something in a prayer about since before the foundation of the world. You know, God knew we'd sin. And we could go to Ephesians 1, and it says there that we were chosen in the Beloved since before the foundation of the world. That means you and I were chosen by God before he said, let there be light. Now, we didn't have pre-existent souls. That's a Mormon heresy. We weren't alive then. But God knew, and he chose each and every last one of us here this morning, and each and every one who comes to Christ in all humility, like the taxpayer in the temple beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or like the prodigal son saying, Father, I've sinned against you and before heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. When we pray those types of prayers, God is showing his work in us. That's why it's so sad that in our society and in certain parts of the church, there are people saying, we don't want to deal with sin anymore. We don't need to deal. It's not sin. We should accept it all. Well, I'd like to see those people do that and sit down into dinner where plates of food are laid out and certain plates are marked with a skull and crossbones and the huge capital letter word, poison. Well, if it doesn't matter, then eat all that food, right? No, we know better than that, don't we? We know better. My dad knew better than to put a 2x4 in where a 2x12 was needed. He knew to buy number one concrete block, not number three. God wants to build his house, his home in each one of us, and he wants to build it right. He set the blueprint out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, turn from your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The blueprint's there. We just need to follow it. You know, blueprints and material. Have you ever seen a contractor's estimate for building you a house? Have you ever seen that? It'll say so many sheets of drywall, so many 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x12s. It'll say whether it should use number 14 or number 12 wiring. Of course, these days it has to be three-wire wiring. Sometimes you have a 220 line for the dryer or for the stove. Copper pipe or stainless pipe or whatever is needed. You know, that whole long list is there. And you might look at it and say, well, you know, Mr. Builder Man, Mr. Builder Ma'am, I could go down and buy a 2x4 for about a buck cheaper. And the contractor's going to say, but I have to pay my workers. I have to provide the tools. I have to provide insurance. And so that extra dollar covers a lot of ground on that 2x4. But God's got to have laborers. My dad, like I say, he built the house pretty much alone. He did have some friends from the church come and help him get the 2x4 and stud walls up and so forth. He had Gene Rich come and help him build those beautiful old, you know, there was the old tongue and groove knotty pine cabinetry. Had the little black wrought iron hinges and the little flipper latch. Do you remember those? Guess what? They're still in that kitchen. And Dad worked in crucible steel, so he went down and he got a big sheet of stainless steel that he'd helped roll. Guess what the countertops are? Stainless steel. We've got to labor. God says, I'm giving you a blueprint. Follow it. It's here in the Bible. I'm going to give you the material, which is your life, lived in humble submission to me. And you aren't going to labor alone. You've got all the other saints here with you to help you. You've got the saints who believe from Adam and Eve onward till the end of the age when Christ returns. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, as Paul writes in Hebrews. And believe it or not, Scripture teaches us clear. The angels help us in our need, don't they? They helped our Lord Jesus. He was tempted in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. And it says the angels came and ministered to him. And Jesus said, each of my little ones, and I don't know about you, I'm 62, and I know to some of you that's young and some of you that's old, whatever. I guess it's middle-aged, huh? But each and every one of his little ones, no matter what our age, we have a guardian angel who watches over us by the command of God. Brothers and sisters, we can do all the talking and hand-wringing and grieving over where certain people are doing certain things. But God wants to build his home with you. In you. In me. In us. The blueprint is here in the Bible. He gives us the materials. The Lord's Supper, holy baptism, fellowship, mission, those are all materials. And he gives us the labor to help us erect this beautiful dwelling to God. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be beautiful on the outside. It was like one of my preacher friends years ago, he said to me, he says, Jay, you know, I know God has a sense of humor. Because he says, as I'm standing there every morning after my shower, he says, with a towel wrapped around me shaving, he says, I know God has a sense of humor. I see myself. You know, we may not be the most beautiful thing in the world physically, but in God's eyes, when we allow God to build his home in us, we become precious and beautiful in his sight. How many of you like old movies? Like them? Go back. I know it was Cary Grant, and I think it was Myrna Loy. Mr. Blandings builds his dream house. They had been living in the city in this apartment. It was getting cramped, so they go out and they buy this beautiful old farm. Well, it looks beautiful. It's fallen in. This farmhouse, and they go to drill a well, and the well driller's going down hundreds and hundreds of feet. Well, they have to redo the foundation, and while they're doing that, water just gushes up anyway. You know? And it, you know, it's kind of what they call it, a money pit. Okay? You know, we don't want that sort of a thing, do we? And we have our dream homes, and, you know, Becky and I have a neat old, what's it called, Pittsburgh Square house, something like that. Of course, it's going to be 90 years old next year, and guess what? We just had to put a new wiring system in. We had to put in a new soil stack. That's the big tube that goes from the upstairs bathroom to the basement. Had to do it, you know. And so we dream a little bit, and every Sunday, if it's a single-story house, I'm thinking we aren't any younger than we used to be. But we cut out all these. You see these in the Sunday paper, okay? We cut these out, and some of them are huge, and some of them are small, but it's a dream. But brothers and sisters, the only dream house that you and I need to live in is that one perfect dream that God has for you and for me. That in this world, we are his dwelling place, we are his temple. We are his home in this world, not just for ourselves, but for other people. You know, I sometimes wonder, and I think, why is the church failing? Why do all the mainline denominations hemorrhage members left and right? And I'm still a member of the Presbyterian Church USA. And we have lost, believe it or not, since January 1st, over 300 congregations. And there are another 260 seeking to leave. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? People like to call Jesus Lord, but they don't know what it means. Lord means He can command us. It means He sets the blueprint, He sends the material, and He makes us the laborers. And we're to do it by God's blueprint, not mankind. I love the History Channel. I mean, they got the Revolutionary War thing going and all that. But Becky can tell you, I got really upset last night. I was checking the channel guide, History Channel 2. Listen to this. If this doesn't scare you, it should. How the Earth Made Man. How the Earth Made Man. I thought God made us. Not Darwin and his theory of evolution, not the Big Bang, and that's a theory. And if we have any scientists in the room, they're going to be able to tell you, in all honesty, theories aren't proven. They're hunches, they're guesses, they aren't the truth. The theory of relativity, the theory of evolution, the theory of the Big Bang, they can't be proven. They're nothing. But God, on a cross, 2,000 years ago, proved His love and that He created us and He wanted to redeem us and He wanted to build His home in us by the blood of His Son Jesus dripping from the cross. By Christ's hands and feet pierced with cruel nails the size of railroad spikes. With a cruel crown of thorns, 2 and 3 inch long thorns, pressed down on His forehead, beaten and bloodied by the fists of the Roman soldiers, beaten with sticks by the Roman or by the Jewish Sanhedrin, His side pierced and His heart pierced with a spear, a Roman broad spear that was used for crowd control, an 18 inch blade that was 6 inches wide at the bottom. Brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you. For the glory of God, for the salvation of your souls and mine, for the salvation of the people we'll touch this week, let us follow God's blueprints. Let us call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Let us baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that Christ has commanded. And here's something else we need to add in there. Matthew Henry pointed this out too, centuries back. When Jesus said, "All that I have commanded you," Jesus is the earthly embodiment of the second person of the Trinity, right? The Son of God. And it says, "All things were made through Him and by Him, and nothing was made that was made without Him." So all the laws of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, all the moral laws of the Old Testament, Jesus commanded those two as the second person of the Trinity, the divine Son of God. We cannot build the church when we tell people to ignore the commandments of God. We aren't following the blueprint. We aren't building with the right material, and we aren't laboring as we should. And the church falls apart. Think about poor Noah. He was surrounded by a godless society. Just he and his wife, Mrs. Noah, and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives. They were all that was left, all that was righteous in the sight of God. And yet he hammered and sawed for 100 years. And he built the ark. And through that ark, the animals were saved. You and I were saved. Yeah, because all of us are Noah's kids. Our world is a bad place. It's a scary place. But brothers and sisters, let us hammer and saw and build the home of God within us and in the true church and take it as much as we can to the world. Let us use God's blueprint. Let us use what He tells us to build with. And let us freely give ourselves to the labor, no matter how long it takes. Let's pray. Lord God, we stumble and fall so many times. Get our eyes back on your blueprint in Scripture. Let us build with the best we have to give, not cheap second or third rate stuff. Let us give ourselves heart and mind, body and soul, all of our strength to love you first. And once we are in that love, then we will be able to go and love other people properly. Don't let us switch it around. Don't let us love people first and then you. That's like switching the wires on a light socket. It just won't work. But Lord God, build your home, not just within us as individuals, but within the corporate body of Christ. And let your Holy Spirit go forth to bring life to the world around us. We ask it, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, your Son, and for his glory. Amen.